this playoff series has been so much fun. And so we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we bring on a guy who knows a real good amount about basketball. He is Coach David Thorpe of TrueHoop.com. We've had him up before. Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm really good, man. I'm really good. All right, so let's start with last night. The Warriors defeated the Rockets here. What did you see in that game from the Warriors and their ability to take down the Rockets that really, like, encourage you for the series going ahead?
Nothing. They're the best team in the world for a reason. I mean, Milwaukee's going to be a very, very good test. Should Golden State get there, and maybe even Toronto or Philly, although I think Milwaukee's the better test. But, yeah, this is a team. Iguodala said this last night after the game, I think actually on a TV interview. He said, I think his quote was something like, our core just always finds a way. We figure it out. And he's right. They've been together. And think about it. You guys got four straight. This is year five, right? These guys have just been, they've seen everything. And those of us that have paid attention for a long time now know, as amazing as Durant is, Curry's the best offensive player in the world in terms of overall impact, because he doesn't have to score. Remember, he scored 0 points in the first half, and they were so tied because of how people freak out when they have to deal with him coming off screens with or without the ball. And then we saw what he did in the second half. So, no, this is who I thought they were. I did a show yesterday where I thought they could win game six without Durant, because Curry's incredible.
And he was. He was unbelievable. I mean, I watched the first half of it and then saw the second half this morning. And, I mean, he just went from 0 to 100 like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. And what did you see out of this Warriors team with just Curry at the helm that you don't typically see out of with Durant there? Was there a little bit of a different offense that you saw there, or was it just status quo?
No. The narrative is that they somehow play old-style Warriors when Durant's out. That's ridiculous. This year's Warriors team scored the number one offense in the history of the NBA in terms of the way we rank it, you know, points per 100 possessions, number one all time. So anything that they do different than what they've done during the season will be a bad thing, because that was the best offense we've ever seen in NBA history. Yes, there are times where they'll isolate Durant some, as they should. He's brilliant, incredible one-on-one. Normally those come at the end of possessions, but if you watch Golden State closely with or without Durant, They're the opposite of how Houston typically plays. The ball is moving, players are moving, lots of screens are being set, slipping screens, backdoor cuts, face cuts. They're constant motion, and there's nothing they haven't seen. So yesterday Houston got real aggressive trapping Curry, and that's what you guys did with David Blatt 5 years ago, and that's why Iguodala got the MVP at 5 threes last night. Curry knows what to do. He makes an easy pass to Draymond, what we call a short roll. Draymond then either drives and scores or kicks out to open people. They've seen it all. So there's nothing anyone's going to do that's going to surprise them. Giannis Antetokounmpo probably is the one guy that, and maybe Kawhi, that can muck up what they do because of their brilliant defensive prowess. But there's no one on Denver or Portland that can do that.
You're right. I mean, I'm trying. I don't know how else to do it. I mean, that's exactly what it seems. Is you're right. It's that five year rapport, and the two man game between Draymond and Andre Iguodala was so unbelievable throughout this entire series. So let's switch gears a little bit. If you're Houston, Coach, what do you do from here? We've now gone to two separate series against Golden State, and they seem to have come up short. And either Paul disappears or Harden disappears. What do you do from here if you're Houston?
I'd like to see a structural change in how they play. I think that they should play a lot more like Golden State. Harden right now is this crazy one-on-one player, maybe the best in the world. Obviously, KD and Kawhi and some others are right there. But remember when Harden was first at OKC with Westbrook and Durant, long before he was a great scorer, he was a brilliant passer and still is. I mean, led the league in assists a couple years ago. I like to see them totally change how they play, less ball dominant in any one player's hands, and mix things up and just play five-man offense and not a single ball dominant guy. I think they'd be better off doing that.
Yeah, because it just seems like at the end of all of these games, James Harden just seems to fade into the back somehow. I mean, what was it, game four? No, game five, he went, 7 minutes and he took one shot or something like that. And even into this one, it seemed like he fell apart towards the tail end of it. Is that just the hall of having to carry a whole offense? Or is it when the going gets tough, they can just, you know, Golden State knows how to crank up the intensity?
No, I think he's a little fatigued. And and or a lot fatigued, and we've seen this now. He was great last night, though, and he was very good until the last his last field goal in Game 5 was 8 minutes to go in the game. And so, you know, we don't want that. But I think that he'd be better off, play him less minutes throughout the year, ask him to score 28, 29, 26 a game, not 36, share the ball more, and I think they'd be better off. I mean, they're right there. They're right there with the Warriors. And if Durant leaves, like everyone expects, they'll drop a little bit. We'll see what happens if they can keep Cousins, depending on what Cousins' market value is. And I still think Houston's going to be – I think they're a brilliantly, brilliantly run team. And if they make some of those changes, I still think they can compete with Golden State next year.
He's Coach David Thorpe of TrueHoop.com. All right, so moving over to the Eastern Conference, and we got two Game 7 – well, we got one Game 7 that's coming up in the Eastern Conference and then one with the West. We'll start in the East, though, between Toronto and the 76ers. What have you been seeing with this up-and-down 76ers team? What 76ers team is the real 76ers team, Coach? Is it the one where Ben Simmons is just hiding in the corner, or is it the one where Ben Simmons is dominant and Joel Embiid is dominant and then there's no answer?
Well, I mean, they're just young, and you know, they don't have the 5 years of finals experiences the way Golden State does. They're at their best when Simmons is attacking from the top or in the dunk spot, like they played him some at center. And that, you know, he can jump to 12 feet. And so when they do that and Embiid isn't in pain, which I think he is, then they're terrific. Their bench with James Ennis is better than people expected it to be. But there's, like I said, they're young and their core has not been together that long. Obviously, they acquired Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler this season, during the season, not even before the season. So I still think they've got some room to grow. Just getting to Toronto in 7 games, I think, is a big win for their franchise going forward.
And it seems that way, but it was so weird because in the beginning when they were struggling a little bit, it was just, you know, Jimmy Butler pick and roll the entire time and just let him go to work. And it seems like when it really starts clicking, those guys are involved and they start getting Simmons way more involved. And I mean, is it just as simple as Joel Embiid's just a little banged up, and if he was healthy, this would be a completely different monster?
Yes, I don't know that they would be winning the series or not, but yeah, Joel Embiid is I think he's in a lot of pain. He walks around like he's walking on eggshells or broken glass. When he is at his best, he's incredible on both ends. Don't forget that. He's not just a brilliant offensive player. He's one of the top three or four defensive players in the world and showed signs of that the other day. So, yeah, I think that I don't know if they would win the series, but it's certainly possible. They've already won three without him being at his best. And don't also forget that Marc Gasol was acquired really solely to slow Embiid down. He's figured out a way to do it when he was in Memphis. That's continued. Embiid's only had one kind of big game in the series. But there's no question, if Embiid plays incredible tomorrow, it's a huge factor for the Sixers to win.
Coach, what are you seeing out of Toronto in this as well? How can they counteract what they saw in Game 6 going into this Game 7?
They've got to shoot better. They've been up and down a little bit with their shooting. They get the shots they want because Kawhi's unguardable. Lowry has been up and down a little bit, mostly up, but not where he needs to be. Their bench has been terrible. That's really the story of the Raptors, is that they acquired Kawhi Leonard. It was a great move by Masai Ujiri, their president, but their bench stinks, and it's just been bad for a while now. Remember, last year they had maybe the best bench in the NBA. This year they have one of the worst, and they have not shown up in this postseason, and it's causing a problem.
All right, let's move to Game 2 of the reason why I will have to buy more flowers for my mother for blowing her off on Mother's Day to watch basketball. That would be Portland versus Denver. What are you seeing out of Portland here? What you see out of Portland against – this is just such a funky series, Coach, and I'm like trying to figure out, because it's almost like one team plays really well and the other one plays horribly, and then it just flip-flops back and forth. What is the steadying factor for a team like Portland to come win this?
Well, lately it's been Rodney Hood, who came out of nowhere. You guys know who that is.
Oh, absolutely.
He's not been the most valuable player, but he's been a very valuable player. Cantor was very effective early in the series. He's kind of dropped a little bit, although he's rebounding well. You kind of expect Damian to be great at home, but they're going to have to make shots and play with a ton of energy and rebound. Denver's had some games where they've really hurt Portland on the glass. And Portland, that's why Cantor's playing so much, is helping rebound. You can't give Denver second and third shots because with Jokic's passing ability, you know, Portland can't really generate easy baskets the way Denver can because of Jokic. And so they've just got to limit their possessions and make shots. If they can limit Denver's possessions to one shot only, limit their own turnovers and shoot well, they certainly have a fighter's chance. It's hard to win game sevens on the road, but we saw last year with Golden State against Houston, certainly not impossible.
All right, Coach, and then I got to ask you with the draft and that stuff. So let's say the lottery turns out that the Cavs end up with the second pick in the draft. Who is the guy that you're looking at to better help this ball club?
You know, I've not really studied it all that closely yet, because I will. I think they'd be making a mistake if they don't draft the best player available. And so for example, that might mean Ja Morant. And I know they have Colin Sexton, who I like very much. In fact, I did one of your shows in Cleveland during the season. And when I said I was very high on Sexton, they like laughed at me and said, "Oh, what are you talking about?" Well, I think you saw why I said that. He had a heck of a last few months in Cleveland, and I think that combination could be just fine together. And you could always trade guys, but you got to get the best player available, so period. And so right now it seems to me Morant's going to be the second best player on the board.
That's kind of what it's looking like, too. I mean, something about Barrett, man. I don't know what it is about him during the season and that stuff, and maybe it was just he was on a team that didn't best suit him. But it just seems like Morant is the more complete player. He's the more player that's built for this style of basketball that we are currently seeing throughout the league, of kind of spread, pick and roll, drive and kick type thing. So I can see where you're saying that. He is Coach David Thorpe of TrueHoop.com. All right, Coach, the other one, too, is if you looked at this roster right now and you were looking to hire a coach, if you're the Cavs, give me a style of basketball that they should be looking to hire that you think would fit them best.
Well, So you look at it, I wouldn't try to match this style to the roster, because the roster is flexible. It's a great question. I would focus on one of two things. Can you acquire the talent to play super fast the way Golden State plays, lots of passes, the way a lot of teams play? And if not, then how are you going to play differently? Are you going to go big and stay big and pound the ball inside? I happen to think they should do the first one. I think they should play. To me, if you're a Cleveland fan, you've been lucky to be able to watch LeBron for so long. You may not get lucky again like that anyone in Cleveland's lifetime, because LeBron is that kind of special player. So play a great brand of basketball. Try to lead the league in scoring. Try to play like the Suns played with Steve Nash. The Hawks this year played super fast, and you know what? It really gave Trae Young and John Collins a lot of opportunities to get better as young players. If I had Sexton and Ja, I would play like Portland, but faster, because they have two small guys in the backcourt that are very good offensive players, and shoot a ton of threes, pick up full court some, get a lot of motion in your offense. Don't just play pick and roll. Have that as one of your staples, but not the only staple. And give your fans something exciting to watch as you acquire talent, and give them opportunities to get better.
All right, Coach, you're a Billions fan, and I am as well. So last week, Mafee went up against Dollar Bill. If you had to take a punch from one of them, which one are you taking the punch from?
Well, I'm happy to say that Dollar Bill follows me on Twitter. He's become a fan friend. And I don't know Mafee, so I'm going to say Mafee. I don't want to get punched by a friend.
I understand. I totally get it. Thanks, Coach. I really appreciate the time. This was excellent. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.